KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear and 31 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be sunny here today with a high of 60. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with a check of state and local news brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In state news, six Northeast Iowa teenagers have been charged with misdemeanors stemming from the distribution of an obscene photo taken by a fellow student. The Des Moines Register reports that the case began with the cell phone photo taken by a teen boy or girl that was sent to another student at Independence Junior and Senior High School in Independence. Buchanan County Attorney Sean Harden said the student who received the photo then sent it to several friends who forwarded it as well. The student who originally sent the photo told a guidance counselor about the situation, and the counselor reported it to school and law enforcement officials. Six students were arrested last week and soon were released to the custody of their parents. Iowa law bars using a phone to send obscene material to a minor. News time is 8:01.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
Reserve officers with the Atlantic Police Department are currently seeking donations for the Reserve's 5th Annual Family Dream Christmas. The program, which is for Cass County residents only, allows selected low-income or underprivileged families to go on a shopping trip with officers to pick up groceries for the family's Christmas dinner, along with gifts for the immediate family. The police reserves are accepting cash donations through December 15th for the program. Those donations can be dropped off at the Atlantic Police Department or Maskers Plumbing and Heating. Applications for families hoping to participate in the program can also be picked up at the APD or at the Plumbing and Heating Store. Applications are in due no later than 4 p.m. on December the 5th. Once all the applications have been received, they'll be reviewed and families chosen to participate will be contacted. There is no set number on the number of families chosen. It simply depends on the amount of donations that are received. If you have any questions, you can contact the Atlantic Police Department at 243-3512. Numerous nonprofit groups and or agencies in Audubon and Cass counties have received a total of $53,560 in grant funds from the Cass and Audubon County Community Foundations. All of the grant recipients had met the criteria as nonprofit agencies or organizations in both respective counties. Representatives of the organizations received their checks on November 13th and 16th. The Community Foundation of Southwest Iowa reports $21,380 in grants were awarded to Cass County nonprofit organizations through the Cass County Community Foundation. The biggest grants of $2,000 each were awarded to CAM Youth Sports for a new concession stand at the Dave Bolt Field and to the City of Griswold for playground equipment at the Cochran Fish Farm. The City of Anita's Public Library received a $1,700 grant for a multi-access server with color printer for use by patrons and staff. Grants amounting to $1,500 each were awarded to the Anita Wellness Center, Atlantic Fire Department, Atlantic Lions Club, and the Cass County Historical Society. A $1,200 grant was awarded to the N.W. Wickman Child Development Center in Atlantic, and grants amounting to $1,000 each went to the Anita Foundation Child Care Center, Atlantic Public Library, Atlantic Rock Island Society Enterprise, or ARISE, the Griswold Fire Department, Jack and Jill Preschool in Atlantic, and the Nishna Valley YMCA in Atlantic. In addition, the City of Marnie received a $480 grant for playground equipment at the City Park. In Audubon County, $32,180 in grants were awarded. The biggest award went to the Audubon County Hospital Foundation, which received a $10,000 grant to fund architectural designs for a rec center. The Audubon County Agricultural Society received an $8,180 grant to replace the livestock show and cattle barns with a multi-purpose building. The Little Mermaid Trail Committee received a $5,000 grant from the Audubon County Community Foundation for the installation of American with Disabilities Act, or ADA, accessible public restrooms in the park. In addition, the PE for Life organization in Audubon County received a $3,000 grant for materials to build storage cabinets for skates to be used at the Agri Hall. And the Audubon County Hospital Foundation, City of Brayton, Exira Fire Department, and Audubon Firehouse Flames received grants amounts of $2,000 each for various equipment or facilities improvements. The Audubon County Players Community Theater Group received a $750 grant, make that $757 actually, for the purchase of tables for the dinner theater and supplies to make and repair flats. The Treasure Cove Gift Shop, located in the Cass County Memorial Hospital, will hold their annual holiday sale on Thursday, November 29th from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the CCMH atrium. Treasure Cove is operated by the CCMH Auxiliary, with all the proceeds used for hospital needs such as medical equipment and facilities furnishings and scholarships to area students pursuing medical careers. From 2007 through 2011, the CCMH Auxiliary donated over $125,000. In 2012, they began funding a $140,000 gift for the recent redecorating of the CCMH atrium and televisions for the new patient rooms and waiting areas. The Treasure Cove Gift Shop relocated last summer to the atrium area of the hospital adjacent to the new addition. All items are marked down for the holiday sale, including special holiday decorating and gift items, as well as regular inventory of purses, jewelry, willow tree angels, scarves, and more. Treasure Trove accepts cash, checks, and Atlantic cash during the holidays. The driver of a Chrysler Sebring suffered possible unknown injuries following an accident Sunday evening just north of Essex in Page County. Sheriff's officials said Monday 55-year-old Allison Chambers of Shenandoah was transported to the Shenandoah Medical Center following the crash on Highway 48. Chambers was traveling north on the road just after 4 p.m. and attempting to pass another vehicle when she lost control of her car. The vehicle then left the road and entered the north ditch. Damage amounted to $1,000, and authorities cited Chambers for failure to maintain control. A herd of deer on the road caused a Shenandoah woman to lose control of her car and crash Sunday night in Page County. Sheriff's officials report 37-year-old Helen Mather was traveling south on 280th Street at around 10:15 p.m. when she swerved to avoid several deer on the road. Mather's 1997 Pontiac Grand Prix spun around on the road and entered the ditch sideways before rolling over three times and coming to rest on its wheels in a farm field. Mather was not injured during the crash, which caused $3,200 damage. Earlier that same day, a car driven by 69-year-old Ronald Wilson of Elcho, Wisconsin, struck a deer on Highway 2 in Page County just past the 38-mile marker. The accident happened around 9:07 a.m., and neither Wilson nor his passenger were injured. The car sustained about $3,000 damage. The Atlantic Police Department said Monday that no injuries were reported following three accidents that had occurred on Friday. Shirley Lemke of Adair was cited for failure to yield upon making a left turn after her vehicle collided with one driven by Brian Masteller of Wyota. The accident happened around 3 p.m. Friday at the intersection of Highways 6 and 71. Damage from the crash amounted to $14,000. The second accident happened around 6:45 p.m. Friday on Highway 6 near the intersection with Park Drive. A vehicle driven by Nathan Grieshaber of Atlantic had struck a deer. Damage from that accident amounted to $1,500. And an accident at around 9:25 p.m. Friday in the Walmart parking lot caused $5,700 damage. Atlantic police say a vehicle driven by Richard McManus of Red Oak was pulling a trailer and it clipped a legally parked vehicle owned by Joshua Peach of Atlantic. The accident happened as McManus was traveling south through the parking lot and attempted to cut across a row. In doing so, he turned too sharply, causing the trailer to clip the right rear of Peach's vehicle. No citations were issued. The Atlantic City Council will hold their regular meeting this evening at City Hall instead of on Wednesday. That's due to the Thanksgiving holiday. When their meeting begins at 5:30, the council will hear a report from Atlantic Fire Chief Mark McNeese. Afterward, they're scheduled to act on a resolution which authorizes Mayor Dave Jones to submit a grant application to the Iowa DOT in hopes of obtaining a $5,000 grant for new traffic signals and posts, which are necessary under new reflectivity requirements. If approved by the DOT, the funds would cover about one quarter of the total cost of implementing the unfunded mandate. The council tonight will also hold a public hearing on reducing the speed limit on West 22nd Street from Chestnut to Palm from 45 to 35 miles per hour. The Community Protection Commission recommended the change after receiving a petition from residents along the affected stretch of road and other factors. Another factor the council will have to consider tonight is a report from the city's Planning and Zoning Commission, which outlines their concerns with regard to the matter, including how a change in the speed limit might affect federal funding for major street improvements. Other public hearings scheduled for this evening during the City Council meeting will address an amendment to the North Urban Renewal Plan to include the United Steel Erectors project and a development agreement with the same company. The hearings will be followed by action on approving the expenditure as an urban renewal project, authorizing payment, and directing that it be included in the December 1st, 2012 certification to the county. A second resolution pertains to the approval of a development agreement between the city and USE Incorporated, along with tax rebate payments. And finally, the council will act on approving the final plat for the Namani Commercial Development Project. The P&Z has already approved the final plat and is recommending the council follow suit. If approved, the plat would divide a nearly 8-acre parcel zoned light industrial into four lots, two of which would be used for commercial buildings along Highway 6 on the west side of town. Taking a look now at world headlines at this hour, a ceasefire appears to be in the works in the Middle East. Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi said Israel's aggression, as he puts it, will end tomorrow. He didn't provide any evidence to support his prediction that an end to Israel's week-long offensive against Gaza is imminent. He only said negotiations between Israel and Hamas's rulers will yield positive results during the coming hours. U.S. builders started construction last month on the most single-family homes and apartments since July of 2008, more evidence that the housing recovery is gaining some momentum. The Commerce Department said housing starts jumped 3.6% in October from September to a seasonally adjusted rate of 894,000. Single-family home construction dipped 0.2%. It's expected to be another day of wet weather in Washington State and Oregon following yesterday's fierce storm that flooded streets and toppled trees, cutting power to nearly 50,000 customers. One person was killed by a falling tree. Flood warnings have been issued for parts of western Washington, and residents have been told where to find sandbags. KJAN News Time is 8:12.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. For major repairs, including new house construction to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Ralph Madison, age 84, formerly of Guthrie County, died November 10th in Chicago. Funeral services for Ralph Madison will be today at 11 o'clock at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Robert Bob Branson, age 86, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday. Funeral services for Bob Branson will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at the First Christian Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Louise Dreher, age 90, of Audubon, died Tuesday. Celebration of Life memorial services for Louise Dreher will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Anna Paulson, age 87, of Atlantic, died Sunday. Funeral services for Anna Paulson will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Doris Lemke, age 92, of Panora and formerly of Adair, died Monday. Funeral services for Doris Lemke will be held this Saturday at 10:30 at the Adair Community Center. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. Craig Miner, age 64, of Shelby, died Sunday. Memorial services for Craig Miner will be held at a later date. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. And Holly Sue Gardner, age 43, of Glenwood, died Sunday. Funeral services for Holly Gardner are pending at the Reek and Veith Funeral Home in Oakland. The news and funeral announcements were brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.